Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
When we were doing our road trip to and from Texas for the holidays, I have a thumb drive that I keep in my car. It is a good 6 hours of John Williams music, all from the Star Wars soundtracks, the various soundtracks. And it was a gift for those of you who remember producer Tom. It goes back to, 10 years ago when Tom and I were working together. We worked together twice, once when the network first launched, and then he went and took another job, another role here at the network. But when we moved after hours to the 5 nights a week, he came back on board, and it was a gift, a birthday gift, I believe, because that was when producers and hosts exchange birthday gifts. I didn't even know it was Pete's birthday this past weekend, but Pete celebrated a milestone birthday. And if I had known, I would have given you a thumb drive with your favorite music. But yeah, so I listened to the Star Wars theme music all the time. Pete, what did you do for your birthday that was super fun?
Spend time with the family.
Nice.
That's always super fun for me.
But it was a milestone birthday.
Yes.
So did you do anything special or significant?
A nice Italian meal.
Ooh, very nice. What'd you eat?
Some penne alla vodka and some chicken parmesan.
Very good.
And
was it family style?
Oh yeah.
Oh, sounds awesome.
And then we had we're gonna do a little more celebrating this weekend because my father hits a milestone this weekend.
Oh, what is dad?
Dad's 70.
That's awesome. Yeah. What are you guys doing for him?
So this might be hibachi this weekend.
I love hibachi.
So family, and then I was surprised with tickets to the New York Islanders game. So that was very nice to be with my friends and my family, and it just very low key.
Mm, that's awesome. Well, happy birthday. I'm sorry that I didn't know at the time. I saw it because of a post that your wife put up on Facebook and did not realize it. So I apologize. Had I known, we would have made a big deal about it because I love birthdays. Birthdays are huge in my family. And while I don't think it's my prerogative to be sharing your age or your milestone, I think it's difficult to go 1 year on this planet and to survive it and feel like you've made headway. So I think all birthdays should be celebrated, especially the milestones.
Oh, yeah. It's especially in the business we work in.
Oh, yeah. It takes a lot out of you.
Yeah.
And you volunteered to come to the overnight shift, which is tough. Having now launched into year 13 of doing overnights here, that doesn't even count the nights. I didn't always do overnights, but late night, overnight at my previous network. We're talking about nearly 20 years of doing late nights and overnights and a lot of weekends too. I realized as I was thinking back on dates and talking milestones that my first shift at my previous network, so my first national shift, was April of 2005. And so we're coming up on 20 years of me working at the network level, working in network radio. I don't even remember the host I was 20 years ago. I can tell you I was scared to death when I got my first shot. I got a call. One of the program directors in Bristol at ESPN Radio was looking for a female, someone who was local, who could drive. I was working in local Providence radio at the time. And so they brought me over for a weekend of hosting shows. And I worked with couple of guys, three of the four are not there anymore, but one of them is still there. He got the full-time gig instead of me, which is great, but we're friends. I love him. And it started an 8-year odyssey there in Bristol. And then in late 2012, the former boss here at what was CBS Sports Radio, they were launching the network. He called me up and he said, I want to find out what's your job status and are you available to come work for me? And so, like others, Doug Gottlieb was there at the time. John Kincaid was there at the time. We made the jump here to a network that launched on January 1st, 2013. And I know we've had this conversation before. You and I were two of the original full-time employees.
Yes.
Andrew Bogish, who's part of the show after ours, he's part of Maggie and Perloff, but he also works as an anchor and sometimes fills in for Writer Than You. He's been here the whole time. Producer Tom is now with Jim Rome, and he's gone from our network now. So Jim Rome was with Westwood One, so he's now gone.
Michael Samter for the afternoons.
So producer Michael Samter, he's moved around a bunch, but yes, he was here at the beginning. Tom DeCelestino was here. He produces Righter Than You. He was actually one of my original, he was the technical director. He did produce me for a time. He was part-time, though.
Yes.
So both producer Toms were part-time when the network started, but they're both, well, Tom DeCel is still here.
Yeah.
Who else is still here? Rich Ackerman?
Yeah, that's right.
Marco Belletti. So this is an interesting story. We can actually talk about it when Marco gets back in here. Marco was the anchor weekend overnights when I was first on the network. So that goes back when I was hosting Friday, Saturday, Sunday nights. And he was the anchor on Friday and Saturdays. And then his position got eliminated. And he was working part-time on our New York affiliate, and every now and then would be here, but now he's been given the full-time gig on the overnights all with us, although he does frequently moonlight during the daytime, which is a funny phrase to say, moonlights during the daytime. So Marco, although again, he was gone for a while, so he's come back. Maggie Gray was also a part-timer here at the beginning, and she went to a local station and came back, so not contiguous years. So how many? You, me, Andrew, Rich.
Yeah, I that's about probably about
Mike.
Right.
Mike Samter.
I think that's it. Because yep. I did the last time I did this count was when DA and Sean were here. And that was like seven.
David Shepard, who often fills in on this show but also does the weekend overnights, he was here as a full-timer with Scott Farrell. So he was working on Scott Farrell's staff when the show launched, but then he left for quite a while, and he got out of radio, and then he came back.
But I don't think he started here.
Oh, I thought he did. No, he didn't start on the show?
I don't think he started with when we launched. I think he was later.
Okay. So he's been here a lot of the time, but not the whole time.
Right.
Yeah.
The memories get very faint as you move along, and I could say this off the top of my head about a year and a half ago. Now I can't.
Yeah, it becomes more of it becomes fading. So anyway, it's interesting to think about as we start year 13, how much has changed over the past 12 plus years. But we're still here. We're still here. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio. If you've been listening all 12 plus years, I'd love to hear from you. And then also on our Facebook page. So I was thinking about, I think I'm going to do it this weekend, because finally, for the first time in January, we don't have football on Saturday and we don't have football on Monday. I could never miss you, football, if you don't go away. So for the first time on Saturday coming up, now I do have a memorial service for a friend of mine, and also a dinner adventure with some friends too. But I'm planning on writing 12 things I learned in 12 years hosting After Hours. People come to me all the time and ask me for advice. How do I get into the business? How do I do this? What's your, best piece of advice you've ever been given? And I have written some blog posts before about best advice I've gotten in this business, but I thought I would share 12 things I've learned, 12 lessons learned from 12 years on After Hours.
I think one of the best things I learned, I think I've told you before, is it's about the recovery, not so much the execution. Because
when you mess up, you mean?
Yeah, because you are all bound to everyone's bound to mess up. It's a matter of how you get out of it.
True.
And how you recover.
If nobody knows that you messed up, or if you can cover it in such a way that it's not a big deal.
That was
that's a skill.
That was the person that hired me that said that.
Really?
Eddie Scazzeri.
He's still here.
Yes.
Although he's also planning on retirement soon.
Soon.
This business can be tough. Can be hard in terms of physical and mental, the requirements, how it taxes you just because of the hours being so hard. And if you're going to watch sports, I don't know how Maggie and Perloff do it, because they try to go to bed early in the evenings, because if you're going to get any kind of sleep whatsoever, You're usually sleeping when the nighttime sports are going on, which means you have a lot of catching up to do when you wake up.
And a lot of DVRing.
Yeah, for sure. And when I worked mornings, this goes back to local radio, I did not have a DVR, and I would work. So I'd be awake at 3:30 in the morning. This was local time, but wake at 3:30 in the morning, get in to host the show, drinking Dr. Pepper, by the way. I was much younger. I could drink as much soda as I wanted. Work my morning show, stick around, do a little more work, whatever, meetings, voicers, that kind of stuff. And then I'd get home around lunchtime. I'd be exhausted. I would take a nap thinking, oh, it'll be an hour. It'll be 2 hours. No, it would end up being a 4 or 5 hour nap. I would wake up. I would take care of the dog, take care of the cats, eat dinner, watch sports, and take another nap, usually between midnight and 12:30 to about 3:30 again. So it was rough. I might sleep 8 hours, but I had no life because all I did was nap when I wasn't working. So it was work and napping. That was it. And I was tired all the time. So as much as overnights are hard, and they are, especially after 12 plus years here anyway, I would say mornings are far worse. I'm not a morning person.
I have said this before. I was doing the mornings. I actually sleep better doing this shift than I do in the mornings.
Woo!
The mornings are, it's a tough turnaround.
Yes. Again, because not all, but the majority of the events that we have to cover and the games that we have to cover do take place at night. Yeah. And then weekends, they're kind of a crapshoot. I mean, you don't really get weekends off if you're going to be legit in this business.
No, you pick weekends is everything that you should have did during the week on the weekend.
Oh, man. Well, and working. I mean, the NFL, college football during the fall and the winter time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We are not in any way complaining. Now, an hour from now, a conversation you do not want to miss about leadership development with some NFL teams behind the scenes, how it happens, how it can make a difference, and how our guest, Dr. Fred Johnson, ever got involved in the NFL in the first place, because his bread and butter is leadership development in corporate boardrooms. He does TED Talks. You can look him up. He's the founder of Initiative One, and his postdoctorate training is in communication and leadership development. So he was pitched to me as a guest, and I wasn't really sure. I did my reading, but I wasn't really sure where I would start or what I would ask him. But as I probed a little more, really neat what he has to say about how he tackles some of the challenges of an NFL locker room, which is full of alpha males and mistrust and competition and obviously very high stakes and pressure. So that's coming up an hour from now. You do not want to miss it. This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. We were talking about this an hour ago. Aaron Glenn hired as the new head coach of the New York Jets. I suppose we'll hear from him fairly soon. They still have to hire a general manager, though, in New York. Meanwhile, the Bears are one step ahead. They were introducing their new head coach, Ben Johnson. Now, if you missed my conversation with local Chicago radio host David Haw, he's from our Chicago affiliate, AM 670 The Score. He joined us on our last show in the final hour, so about 22 hours ago. And he believes this was the most impressive day in the history of this particular Chicago front office. The fact that they were able to land their man, not lose him to another team, pay him what he's worth, pay him what would keep him in Chicago in the NFC North, and not allow him to go anywhere else. Really amazing that the Bears went to such great lengths, but they wanted this guy to work with their budding superstar quarterback, Caleb Williams, believing that Ben Johnson could find the way to get the best out of Caleb and put him in the best positions to succeed.
This offense will be calibrated with him in mind. We're going to build this thing. This is not simply a dropping of a previous playbook down on the table and starting there. Nope. We're ripping this thing down to the studs, and we're going to build it up with him first and foremost, and then with the pieces around him next.
I saw all kinds of feedback from Ben Johnson's introductory press conference. People raving about what they heard from this guy who was the offensive coordinator with the Lions. Now, one of the things that people talk about with him, he's creative, he's innovative. I mean, that's what people said about Mike McDaniel and his offensive ideas as well. But also about Ben, he is big time into analytics. So he very much uses analytics and all the tools available to him when it comes to the mathematical formulas. Never been a head coach before, but he was highly sought after for the second year in a row. So this is the second hiring cycle in which he had multiple options. So why did he end up taking the job in Chicago?
There's no doubt Caleb played a large component into my decision. He is a phenomenal talent that had, as many quarterbacks do, an up and down rookie year.
Well, that's true. I say rookie quarterbacks giveth and they taketh away. But one of the real big challenges with Caleb, as it is with many rookie QBs, because a lot of times they're joining teams that are not very good, the big challenge is often the offensive line. And how do you protect that quarterback? And how can you throw a quarterback into the fire if you don't have confidence that he'll protect himself? And so what do we see? Go back to the Bengals season where we had the rookie campaign of Joe Burrow. And what happened? The offensive line was so bad. He got hit so many times that finally ended up with a serious injury. Torn ACL, right, was the first year. And he was out before they hit, two-thirds of the way through the season. And it was brutal. And he had to go through all that rehab to come back the next year. But that's a lot of times what happens is you throw a rookie quarterback behind a weak offensive line. And if he doesn't know how to protect himself, well, that becomes a problem. But it also affects his play on the field. Why does Ben Johnson believe he can make this leap from offensive coordinator in Detroit to head coach?
Every step of my journey, whether it's quality control, whether it was position coach, whether it was coordinator, I have found a way to change myself to be the best in that particular job. And so now that the job requirements are changing and I'm no longer just coaching an offensive player or an offensive unit, this is the entire team. And the good news is this, I am a football coach, so I will be able to change and adjust accordingly.
The numbers are a validation of what he did in Detroit. I know numbers don't tell the whole story, but Jared Goff had three consecutive 4,000-yard passing seasons. He also had his best QBR, which is a metric to, we talked about analytics, measure quarterback performance in totality. And this is the best that he ever performed under his previous offensive coordinators and head coaches. And the same time was the winning. I mean, Jared Goff, with all the weapons around him, that offense, especially this year, as the injuries mounted on defense more and more, it was the offense that had to kind of cover up a multitude of sins, if you will. And he was able to do that with the offense until the very end and the turnovers. That was rough. He did talk about Jared Goff. And he said, not every player is Jared Goff. Actually, Caleb Williams said that. Not every player is Jared Goff, but you're yourself. And he's excited. I don't know if we have the Caleb Williams, but I guess he spoke on Wednesday as well. He was there for Ben Johnson's introduction, even though he's training in Florida in the offseason. Caleb was excited about it. Clearly, Ben Johnson can't wait to work with him, but also has to rebuild a culture, has to figure out what type of culture works best for the Bears.
At the end of the day, we are going to lean on a professional work ethic. We're going to learn how to be pros here in this building. We'll be deliberate and intentional with what we do, and then we'll get out of the building and off our feet.
Interesting stuff. Like I said, people raving about the fact that Ben Johnson said all the right things. He even labeled the Bears a sleeping giant, which is interesting. I remember at the beginning of the offseason, so about a year ago, not quite, a little more than a year ago, we were talking about how the Bears had the number one pick, Caleb Williams, the presumptive number one overall pick, and how they were just a quarterback away. That was what a lot of people thought. They had put plenty of weapons around Caleb Williams. The defense was good. They were giving Matt Eberflus another year. As it turned out, that was not the case. Eberflus didn't last the season. They lost 10 in a row at one point, and yet Ben Johnson still labeled them a sleeping giant in what turned out to be one of the, the toughest division in the NFL this season. But he's leaving Detroit on a high note because of the back-to-back really impressive regular seasons, as well as getting the number one seed for the first time in franchise history this year, and a year ago making it to the NFC Championship. I'm excited to see what happens with Ben Johnson. I really want him to succeed, and I think it's great that you've got players excited too. Caleb Williams was there, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, Cole Kmet, so offensive players alongside, and right away Ben Johnson mentored the offensive line. Like, that's his number one goal, is along with working with the quarterback, you've got to be able to protect him. And so with the poor pass protection came some of the struggles with Caleb Williams. He was sacked a league high 68 times in 2024. So that right there tells you exactly where the Bears need to start. If they're going to work with their rookie quarterback and get to the point where he is playing at a higher level, they need to be able to protect him. Now
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
To learn how to get rid of the ball more quickly, but how do you even know what you've got with a quarterback when he's constantly under siege? Excited for Bears fans. I'd love to hear from you at A-Law Radio and then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. We'll talk about Championship Sunday a little more as we head through the show, but also what's happening down under. Novak Djokovic, he advanced with a really tough match against Carlos Alcaraz. And he's got one big concern as he moves forward into the semifinals. And for the first time in a long time, we've got both an American man and woman in the semis of the Australian Open. Though Ben Shelton, the American man, he's got, I would say, a notable complaint about what he's dealing with down under, what they're dealing with down under when it comes to the media and some of the on-court interviews, which is an area where I have experience. So we'll continue through our eclectic smorgasbord on this edition of After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I just came across my new favorite criticism of the show. Pete, are you ready for this? I don't think you should take this personally. One former listener, he said he stopped listening, but for some reason he was still on our social media. Explain how that works. I stopped listening, but here I am on your Facebook page just because I want to see what you're doing, even though I'm not listening anymore. Wink, wink.
Hate listening.
Wink, wink. He says the show has become too feminine.
Oh, boy.
It's my new favorite. Too feminine. I don't remember the last time anyone called me feminine, which is awesome. I mean, I'm a girly girl away from work, but here at work, I'm not much of a girly girl. And I would say this time of the year, we spend 98% of our time on manly football. And somehow the show has become too feminine. But here's the funny part. He posted that as a response to my happy birthday Caitlin Clark message. And so... apparently talking about Caitlin Clark is too feminine because, you know, only women follow Caitlin Clark and what she does, right? That's how she and her Iowa Hawkeyes teammates and then the WNBA set viewership records and shattered all kinds of marks for attendance and ticket sales because only women go. It's too feminine.
Right. It's totally.
Don't take it personally, Pete.
No, I'm not. Breathe 3, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So we're getting set for the women's semifinals down under at the Australian Open. Madison Keys is part of the final four, which is neat. And then the men come up on what is their Friday, our Thursday overnight, or I guess early Thursday morning, depending upon where you are in the United States. So that'll be kind of fun. I always enjoy watching events overnight. While we're here on the air, so it's Olympics, it's the Open Championship in golf, it's often the tennis Grand Slam, so they're getting set now for the women's semifinals, and we'll talk more about it. I still love seeing all of the fun reaction and tributes to the guys who made the Hall of Fame. Billy Wagner, by far, the favorite story because of the fact that he waited until, well, he didn't wait on purpose, but 10 years he had to wait before he got the call. And I've been telling this to producer Pete, wanting to talk about what the Dodgers have done this offseason because they were busy over the holidays, but also with all the football taking place, we really haven't had a chance to talk about them much. So I would love to get into that coming up. People ask me all the time about the system in baseball and would they benefit from a hard salary cap? And maybe they would. They have luxury taxes, though, like punitive luxury taxes that have forced many of the teams to dial back on spending, but they don't have a salary cap. However, the NBA and the NHL do have salary caps, and they have so many loopholes that it's hard to even keep up with what they're doing to get around their salary caps. The NFL is really the only one that has a hard cap, meaning you cannot go over or you lose draft picks, you get fined, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but even that, you can finagle that system as well. It's
deferred
a hard
money.
Cap. Yeah, well, no, but you could do all kinds of stuff. I mean, the Saints have been messing with the cap for a long time. Eventually, you pay the piper, but you could do it 20 years
really
later.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, you could do it for 20 years, and you could be good. You could keep pushing the can. You could just keep kicking down the road, down the road, down the road. So they all have their idiosyncrasies, if you will.
I just think the Dodgers, the philosophy and the approach that they have developed is one that will continue to attract the best of the Japanese players. And more we're seeing Japanese-born players come here because of the success. We talked about it with Ichiro, but now, obviously, Yamamoto, Shohei Ohtani, and they've got this latest pitcher. And what we keep hearing from these Japanese players is they've got a culture that I know I can succeed and I feel comfortable. And so the Dodgers are willing to spend billions. They don't care. They've got it. And every World Series they win makes them more money. Shohei Ohtani is making them money like nobody's business. So it's more than worth it to them.
Yeah, and we'll see how this whole thing, the deferred money, because everyone's taking deferred money with them now. Everybody that they sign is taking. So I don't know. Same thing. Is it going to be where eventually they, you know, can't spend this money because they're paying Shohei Ohtani $68 million a year and he's been retired for 5 years? Like, I don't know. I don't know if that's eventually going to catch up to them. We'll find out, but it's a good 15 years until we figure out and see if they're going to have to do that. Or is the CBA, when it comes up in a couple years, going to be a mess because they get rid of some of this stuff and the loopholes? I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that who knows what this is going to turn into, but for now, the Dodgers are playing the system. They're doing everything that they're supposed to do, which is put together a winner in any way you can.
And they've turned themselves into an international phenomenon. I mean, the people that are coming from Japan to watch them play. And as I say, Ohtani himself is earning them money hand over fist, not to mention they just won a World Series, which also is a major windfall. But they're selling merchandise and tickets. And everywhere they go, they're a major draw. So they've got themselves in this kind of catbird seat. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, you can obviously put incredible players in every position, but you still can't prevent injuries. You still can't make them perform. I mean, think about their starting rotation last year. They used more than 20 different starting pitchers. They had a bullpen start in the World Series. And so if not for Freddie Freeman, who came through the way he did. So it'll be interesting to keep our eyes on. Marco, we were talking about this. So we're into year 13 as a network now. I'm going to assume it's lucky number 13. We're into year 13 as a network. And Pete and I were going back over, because it's kind of fun to think about how many original employees there are. You were part-time, but you were here. You Correct. And I worked the very first weekend together, which is great. And then you were gone. You took off. You did some other things. You moved away from us. You were big-timing us. And, uh-huh. and then you came back mm-hmm. because...
Right. It was me.
Right. And mm-hmm. even now, though, it's kind of like Pete. Pete, during Super Bowl week, he's decided he has more important responsibilities, so he's ditching us for all of Super Bowl week, mm-hmm. yeah. including Super Bowl Sunday night, which is a little painful. Ow! Oh, and so we're not his number one priority, just like with you. You had other priorities. You left and came back, and mm-hmm. here you are mm-hmm. again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you still sometimes ditch us for the daytimes. Mm-hmm. I, however, have been here the mm-hmm. entire time, right here in okay. this here time slot. Although I have a new chair. We have a new chair. You don't have a new chair.
I do not
you
have
like
a new chair.
That blue chair. I do
I'm
not understand why.
I'm fine with it. All the original, I mean, how many are there? There's not that many, right? I mean,
no.
What are we talking about, 10 of us?
I don't even think that many. Pete, me, you, even though you weren't full-time, but you were here.
Rich Ackerman.
Andrew Bogish.
Correct.
And then Samter, Michael Samter. So producer Tom, the first producer Tom.
Oh, yeah,
was with us, but no, the other. D. Benedetto.
Right.
He's now at Jim Rome,
Correct.
And they're no longer with the network, so he's not here anymore.
Correct. But D-Cell's still here.
D-Cell is. He was my technical director when we started, so he's now a producer with Bill Ryder. Mm-hmm. So he was part-time as well. I don't know if Anthony, who does our newsroom, was with us at the very beginning.
Yes. Pierno was here from
also
the
also a part-timer.
Yes, sir.
But in terms
so
of full-timers, who was?
Billy Jackalone.
Billy. So all part-timers.
Right.
But except for you, me... And Samter. Is that it for full-timers?
And Bogish.
And Ack.
Okay, so that's five it. Full-timers and probably five part-timers.
Yeah, because about 6 months, Rome was originally
there. But
well, now that, yeah, now that Jim is gone with that slot, yeah, that kind of took away a few different people.
Have you worked on the show with Rich Eisen yet?
No, not yet. Next week? Not yet.
Ooh, are you excited? I've heard it's a bit of a challenge.
Really? Because
they don't have the times down yet.
That's okay. None of that stuff bothers me.
That's good.
Well, I mean, once you hit the music.
You have to be flexible.
No, but once you hit the music, my job starts when you hit the music. Other than that, I'm supposed to be. That's my job is to be a chameleon. Come in and try to figure out what's going on with every different show.
I like it. So I haven't heard it because I'm sleeping during the daytime. So I haven't heard it yet, but he's a big name, obviously.
I've heard his show before, but not on our network. No, because that's not a time slot for me.
Right, exactly.
That's the opposite of what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly. But I do. I mean, we crossed paths in my previous network, so I know him from them, although that was 20 years ago. Mm. So, yeah, it's been a while. That's neat, though. Sad to lose Jim, but I understand why Jim would want to change and wanting to do a different time slot for him, too. It's all the rage these days. So, yes. Anyway, that's wow, year 13. That's just a few of us that are still remaining.
Wow. We had three other, like I said, we had Rome, we had DA, and we had Sean about 2 years ago.
Right.
So those three are the full-timers.
Right.
Dropped.
But I'm the only original host. That just means I'm old. That's what it means. I'm old and I'm stuck in a rut.
I hadn't thought of it, really? Is that,
yeah.
Wow.
I
hadn't thought of that. It didn't really cross my mind. I didn't line up all the slots. I haven't really thought about, 13 years ago.
Nearly 3,000 shows, if you can believe it, right? The last I checked kind of around the end of the year is like 2,900 shows. So not quite 3,000.
Look, just like Itro.
I'm so old.
See?
By the way, Pete just celebrated a milestone birthday. Did you even know?
No.
I had no idea. He didn't bother to tell us. Thanks. Happy belated birthday. But over the weekend, he had a milestone birthday. It's a big one.
What? You hit 40? What?
Yes. Marco, you're not supposed to out people if they don't want you to know. People to know.
Tough.
All right.
Wow. Don't do that to a chick.
Well, I mean, good for you. Welcome to the club.
Woo!
I mean, it makes you feel better. I'm 46, so if it makes you feel better, I'm older than you.
Look at you two talking about ages.
Hey, I don't mind.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
You made it.
I've done a lot to get here, yes.
Yeah, right? And has a few gray hairs to go with it. Pete has no hair, so we have no idea if his hair would come in gray.
I fast-forwarded that part.
Right. But is this on purpose or is this natural?
Natural and on purpose.
Oh, okay. It's a little bit of a hybrid. Pete has hybrid head.
That's right.
But no gray hair.
I've got a lot of gray hair.
Marco's got the gray hair on all parts of his face.
Mostly in my beard.
You guys are old. Mm-hmm. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. We're goofing off. By the way, my new favorite latest criticism, you weren't in here. The show's too feminine.
All right, then.
That's not you, Marco. Don't take it personally.
I was considering that. I was going to reevaluate. I didn't know what I did, but, you know, always take a chance to look back and feminine. Self-evaluate.
I don't even sound like a girl. I sound like a guy half the time.
And that comes from somebody that's hate listening to us right now. Yeah. Oh, that sounds too feminine.
Too feminine. Hmm. Here's our latest sports update. Not feminine. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All in Jets are now in the hands of Aaron Glenn as the former Lions defense coordinator reportedly gets a 5-year deal to take over a Jets team that has not made the playoffs since 2010. That is the longest active streak in sports. First head coaching job for Glenn as the Jets still have an opening, though, at the GM spot. Another former Lions coordinator and Ben Johnson made it clear his top priority would lead the Bears, getting Caleb Williams to that next level.
This offense will be calibrated with him in mind. We're going to build this thing. This is not simply a dropping of a previous playbook down on the table and starting there. Nope. We're ripping this thing down to the studs, and we're going to build it up with him first and foremost, and then with the pieces around him next.
Jaguars continue to be in flux. They fired GM Trent Baalke just weeks after saying he'd remain with the firing of Doug Peterson. Jacksonville's also on the lookout for a coach after Liam Cohen took his name out of the running, decided to return to the Bucs as offensive coordinator. Heat planning to suspend Jimmy Butler 2 games, missed a team flight as the drama continues in Miami. And if you're wondering, February 6th. That's the trade deadline. In the NBA, on the scoreboard, it was a monster night for Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
Dante George inbound near sideline. Looking, lobs to Kessler, top of the key, handing to Sexton. Ball free in the lane, knocked away by Shea. Caruso's got it. Shea's in the open court. Takes it home with a two-hand dunk. Good night, Jazz. Finishing touches administered by number 2, baby. 121-110. Number 2, another deuce, giving 52 on the game.
54 in all for Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Thunder erased the Jazz 123-114 as the call was courtesy of the Thunder Radio Network. Rest of your scores, Rockets up in the Cavs 109-108. T-Wolves wits to the Mavericks 115-114. Kings outscore the Warriors 123-117. Domantas Sabonis 26 and 18 boards. Celtics able to outlast the Clippers in overtime 117-113. Jaylen Brown 25. Jason Tatum at a 24. Grizzlies roll the Hornets 132-120. Suns batter the Nets 108-84 behind 32 from Devin Booker. And Cade Cunningham with 29 and 11 assists. Pistons down the Hawks 114-104. College hoops, Florida able to hold off South Carolina 70-69. Houston punished Utah 70-36. Kansas erased TCU 74-61. Texas A&M clipped Ole Miss 63-62. And St. John's outlasted Xavier in overtime 79-71. I'm Marco Belletti.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Infinity Sports Network. That's Infinity Sports Network to follow us on Instagram.
Some of you go to the gym at these ungodly hours. I don't know how you do it. I've got a friend who listens to the show and walks his dog while he's listening to the show. Our former boss, Mark, producer Pete knows this, used to get up every single morning at 3:15 a.m. and run his 3 miles at 3:30 in the morning. And the only thing that would keep him from doing it was pouring down rain. And then he would stay in the house and he would run on the treadmill. But he found that the solitude of running overnight was his peace and his saving grace, and also for health reasons. But almost religiously, without fail, he would get up at 3:15 Eastern time and run from 3:30 to 4:30 every single morning.
It's the best time to have your own time.
Well, true, but I love to run, but I'm not sure as a single female that I would be running around my neighborhood at 3:30 in the morning by myself.
No, unless you had some type of weapon with you.
Or my dog, which right. I guess both of those are possibilities. Flower would think, what the heck are you making me do right now? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The first of the Australian Open women's semifinals are taking place down under, though not the one featuring Madison Keys, the American. That'll happen after this one. And then Novak Djokovic, he'll come, and Ben Shelton, actually, two of them. Ben is playing Yannick Sinner. Those semifinals on the men's side will happen this time tomorrow. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. Wanted to give you a little bit of what we heard from Novak Djokovic after he beat Carlos Alcaraz. So this was not a night when... Well, it happened early morning and we were already done by the time the match was over. But it was a four-setter, and it was one that he called an epic clash. He dropped the first set. He won the next three. But as he gets ready for the semifinals, he admits he's got some concerns.
Well, I'll take it day by day. You know, now it's really about recovery. I'm concerned. I am, to be honest, physically. But if I manage somehow to be physically good enough, I think, you know, mentally, emotionally, I'm as motivated as I can be.
I am rooting for Novak. I don't know how many other people are, but I'm rooting for him because this is maybe his best opportunity yet, or his best opportunity of late to win his record-setting 25th Grand Slam, which would break the tie with Margaret Court all time. Now, Ben Shelton's the American who is into the semifinals on the other side against Yannick Sinner, who I believe is the top seed. Ben had some interesting things to say about the type of interaction he's having with Australian media.
I've been a little bit shocked this week with how players have been treated by the broadcasters, and I don't think that the guy who mocked Novak, I don't think that was just a single event. I've noticed it with different people, not just myself. I noticed it with Lerner Tien in one of his matches. I think when he beat Medvedev, his post-match interview, I thought it was kind of embarrassing and disrespectful, that interview. There's some comments that have been made to me in post-match interviews by a couple different guys, whether it was, hey, Monfils is old enough to be your dad, maybe he is your dad. Or today on the court, hey, Ben, how does it feel that no matter who you play in your next match, no one's going to be cheering for you? I mean, maybe true, but I just don't think a comment that's respectful from a guy I've never met before in my life. And I feel like broadcasters should be helping us grow our sport and help these athletes who just won matches on the biggest stage enjoy one of their biggest moments. And I feel like there's just been a lot of negativity, and I think that's something that needs to change.
I appreciate those comments from Ben Shelton, and they're obviously resonating and making major headlines. Because as a broadcaster, I believe it's not our role, especially when you're working an event, to take sides. Or to make fun of athletes. I've been an on-court interviewer, and I've also been an on-court announcer. For 10-plus years, I worked for the Tennis Hall of Fame in Newport with some of the greatest tennis players that have ever played the game. And I always tried to be respectful. I felt like to establish a rapport with those players so quickly before they knew me, the best way to do it was just to ask the questions and get out of the way, or to try to play to their sense of humor. And so I appreciate that Ben's willing to give feedback to the media. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.